listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The word is out that there's significant optimism about this season not only happening in full, but happening on schedule.
Yeah, and that's in a conference call with reporters earlier today. NFL General Counsel Jeff Pasch says that the league's expectation is that the season will start on time and they will have stadiums full of fans.
I mean, that's been my sense, the idea that if Cuban's talking about June 1st as the over-under, and now the debate becomes, well, is it in Vegas? And I think we should talk about that on the show because, I mean, I just love that everyone gets all excited. It's like, oh, it's going to be in Vegas. Love that. I hope it is, though obviously without fans, not the exact same thing, but it should be fascinating if it happens. But obviously, if that happens in June or even July, then the NFL is going to start. So I guess I'm a little confused. And listen, Herb Street, alum from The Ohio State University, as am I. I know him just a little bit. He follows me on Twitter. And Joey Galloway actually grew up one town over from me. I know Joey. And it doesn't change that I think media guys forget sometimes, especially when the mic is on them so much. Right? They're getting paid a lot of money to pontificate. And after a while, I think some of them forget what they're truly experts at. Doesn't mean that they can't have opinions, you know, and anyone has a right to be wrong with their opinions. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on things that I'm not an expert at, but I try to delineate between them. Now, listen, this is the second year I've hosted a show. If I'm, you know, 22 years in, all of a sudden now you're going to feel like everyone wants to hear you on everything. So, Jonas, you've been around a lot of media guys. Do you see that as they get years and years and years into it, that the idea that they have an opinion on everything and it comes out pretty much the same way? Do you see that being something that happens a lot?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it happened, you know, during the last election. There's been a lot of politics that have been brought up from time to time, and I've always viewed this as a way for people to get away from that. I don't know anything about it. It bores me. I don't find it interesting at all. But for some reason, people like to dive into this, and it felt like Kirk Herbstreit dove in with a, you know, proclamation or a projection as to what the future is going to look like when nobody really has a clear definition of what's going to happen moving forward.
No, I agree. And I think right now, based on the way the bet was put together, if you bet me, will the NFL play, you know, at least 14 games and have their full playoffs, I would say I'd say personally, and this is an opinion, a non-expert opinion, but I predict the future based upon the known information. Am I going to predict this as well as an NFL game? Probably not, right? So we'll call this half a professional pick. I would say that we're looking at, I got to be honest, I think I'd lay minus 800. I think we're looking at almost 90%. Well, if you just had to say a percentage, and again, amateur guess here, for me and you, what would you guess?
NFL plays. I would guess 89%.
Oh, Price is right again. I mean, I'm not guessing first anymore.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think if there's – I think the NFL – They sort of lucked into this, like to where all this happened on the calendar. Like if this was 2 months ago, we were in Miami. There were people talking about coronavirus out there. I saw people with masks on their face in the airports there. It was still being discussed, but nowhere near to where it's being discussed now. And that was during the Super Bowl. I mean, this just landed in the NFL's lap, and I think they're going to be good for the season.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, the NFL and their owners formally approved an expanded playoff field earlier today. This has been in the works for some time. It'll now go from 12 teams to 14 teams in the playoff, one team getting a first-round bye and home field advantage, and then you've got six other wildcard teams in each conference. That'll take effect this upcoming season in 2020.
Have you ever boxed, Jonas?
Like not professionally, but yeah.
Well, boxed. Yeah, but yeah. you've been in a ring with gloves, headgear. Okay. Yep. Sometimes when we debate, I feel like I'm Ali against Floyd Patterson, and then I look, and you got this look on your face like, please don't hit me. So do you want to debate this? Because I find this egregious. I hate this. I hate it for a bunch of reasons. You like it. And I want to go one more round, but I want you engaged. I don't want you kind of like you take the first overhand and you're back in a way. Do you believe you're right or not?
I believe that I like it.
Well, but
I can't
you're saying for the game itself.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Extra playoff games. Yeah.
I'll let you make the case.
So I think anytime you can provide hope, you can get more people engaged for as long as possible. I think it's a good thing. It's why I think the onside kick they should get rid of and they should make it a 4th and 15 play, because I think it gives you actual hope as opposed to whatever the onside kick is morphed into with the current rules. You're giving an extra team and an extra fan base hope to try and make a run in the postseason. On top of that, you're giving a bunch of other teams who realize they're that much closer to potentially making the playoffs that much more hope. So if you're trying to present hope and get people engaged for as long as possible, I think it's awesome that we've expanded the playoffs to 14 teams.
Well, let me tell you, you said that a lot better, because that's an angle I mean, I heard the idea of, oh, there's going to be teams competing for the 7th spot, and my thought is, can they win from the 7th spot? Here's an amazing stat. This has been making the rounds, but, you know, I didn't believe it. McKenzie in pregame research double-checked it. No NFL team since the 2012 Ravens, so 7 champions since, has made the Super Bowl. So that means either the loser or the winner. So 14 teams, all 14 last 7 seasons have gotten a bye in the playoffs.
Wow.
Meaning they were the 1 seed or the 2 seed. 7 years, the number 3, 4, 5, 6, forget about it. We don't need you. But now we're saying the 7th has hope. You're right, there's hope, but if I said right now you can have the 2 7 seeds to win the Super Bowl, what odds would you take to bet on them? Would you
betting,
take 5-1?
I'm not betting the 7 seeds to win the Super Bowl.
Well, what about the hope you're talking about?
But it's like Vegas. When you sit down at a slot machine, the odds are you're not going to strike it rich on the progressives, but you still play because there's that glimmer of hope, and that's all the NFL is doing here. These 7 seeds don't have a shot.
It's a good debate. So here's what I'll say. Here's why I don't like it. One, it's interesting that you talk about hope, because the more that you expand hope, the more you invalidate or make less important everything that came before it. So like, you ever play a basketball game where someone says, all right, we're down 7, let's make a half court shot, a 6-pointer, you know,
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's like, well, yeah, it's letting someone come back in. Like, you get the ball, you keep getting the ball. If you score, you've seen things like, I can't remember where I've seen that, but I've seen that, not make it, take it in basketball. I mean, like in football, the idea that, hey, if someone's really, if they're down by more than 10 in the 4th quarter, let them keep the ball. I've heard that before. It's like, well, you just make, yeah, I get you want to orchestrate close games at the end, but do you want to make it where the season, I mean, look at the NBA. The NBA is the natural extension of more hope. And what do you get? You get a bunch of teams making the playoffs that they debate, is it worth it or should they go in the lottery? And, I mean, I don't think there's been an NBA champion.
Well,
I mean, has there been an NBA champion worse than a 3?
I think so. I know the last team I can remember getting that was lower than a 3 was 2010. The Celtics were a 4 seed and got to the finals. They lost in game 7 to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who was the lowest seed to win a title.
I mean, but in a decade now, we're saying no, that we could lop off the first round of the playoffs and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
So I think the 7th seed has a better chance in the NFL than the 8th seed in the NBA. Because it's best of 7, all the different things. But in general what I think you're going to get, because now you've taken – I would rather them have added – I haven't thought about the way it would work – more playoff teams and kept more buys. Because to me, if you cut in half the number of buys, then you're going to cut significantly the teams that feel or are competitive for a buy. And now the question is, what happened in this NBA season that we talked about? Is the one seeds were kind of locked up or close, and there was a lot of teams between 3 and 6, 7 even, that weren't really playing for much. Yeah, they wanted to keep moving up, wanted home court, but the intensity just wasn't there as if they were playing for their playoff lives. Don't you agree? And let's think quickly about who is going to benefit here. So the one seed, it's going to be the same. They'll be the only buy, but effectively they'll have to win 3 games to win it. The 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, 6 seed are about the same, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Almost the same. What happens is the 7th seed obviously goes from 0 to something, and then the 2 is the one that suffers. This is all, the 2 pretty much is losing it all, and the 7 is gaining it all. To me, I think you're going to have, especially if you have one runaway team, which you have sometimes, I think we might be 3-4 games at the end of the year where these teams, does it really matter as much as it should? I think you're going to have, let me ask you this. Do you agree? Yes, there's more teams that's going to be competing for the 7, but there'll be more playoff teams that really don't have a motivation to care about their seeding.
Yes, and that's why I like this extra team in each conference in the playoffs, but I don't like the extra game in the regular season, because I think that gives them more room to be able to rest players, load management, all of that. I've also thought about this. I think this is going to save a lot of coaches' jobs, because there's not a lot of coaches who get fired after making the playoffs. Like, I mean, I can think of, you know, Mularkey was the last one that I can think of off the top of my head. But I think a coach who slips into the 7 spot, now all of a sudden, if you're an organization, can you fire that coach even though they had no real chance at winning a playoff game? Mm-hmm. So I do think there's going to be some changes.
Now, here is my final point on it, which is, as a Steeler fan, it's amazing that I don't like this, and it must show you how much I don't like it. The Pittsburgh Steelers would have made the playoffs all 10 of the last 10 seasons. But 4 times, I think it was, they would have been the 7th seed.
It would have been Duck Hodges versus Patrick Mahomes in the first round.
I tell you this, with Big Ben back in the day, that was the 7th seed you didn't want to see. Let me tell you that much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The stats are so amazing. Trubisky versus Foles. Now, what people would say, what I might say in a given circumstance, would be, wait a minute. Foles was ascertained to be good enough for a major contract. Multiple years, tens of millions of dollars for Jacksonville. What's happened in the interim? What's happened since that contract? What new information would cause us to smartly reevaluate? Well, he got hurt after 8 passes, I think it was, early. His QBR was amazing, actually, after those 8. But he got hurt, came back. Did he come back too early? I don't know. Was there turmoil in Jacksonville, in the locker room? Obviously, right? Think what happened after the season. And this whole Minshew thing, I don't know. But I know that Foles played very poorly for a handful of games after. But the question is, you obviously forget the first 7 or 8 passes. Jonas, as a fan, if I said, hey, this guy was worth this much money, 50 mil or whatever, and he has had 2.5 bad games since, how much are you downgrading him?
I am not as high on Foles.
But that's a difference. What I'm saying is, you weren't as high on Foles when Jacksonville signed him either, right?
Right. I would downgrade him a little bit. I think there was an opportunity there. And physically, and then when he did come back, he couldn't beat out a 6th-round pick.
Well, he did. Well, he beat him out. Then he didn't play well. And listen, I'm not saying Nick Foles is the best quarterback in the NFL, but if you look at Trubisky, he's about the same. And this is what's amazing. You look at 17, 18, 19, and this is Trubisky's 3 years in the league, and you look at the passer rating because Foles didn't have enough attempts for QBR. In 2017, his passer rating was right around an 80, and Trubisky was 78, so within 2 points. Yeah. In 2018, passer rating was a 96, and Trubisky was a 95. And in 2019, 84 for Foles, 83 for Trubisky. So not only is the average so close between these two, but literally for three seasons, they were within two passer points. I mean, I'm going to figure the odds out for tomorrow. The odds are going to be somewhere around 1 million to 1 of that happening.
And that's why I was surprised when the odds came out of who's going to be the week one starter for the Bears that Foles was as much of a favorite. I think you guys talked
like
about
minus 160 or 7.
Yeah, something like I was surprised. I thought that's I would bet Trubisky in that case.
Well, here's the question. They obviously are trying to make it so Trubisky has the best chance to have a good fourth season because that was a big investment they made in him.
Yeah.
What is the best chance? Is it bench him early and let him sit and watch, or let him have some confidence, and if he really fails, you go to the backup? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. The odds or the stats tell us it's pretty much a coin flip who's going to be the better quarterback.
Yeah, and I think this has got the optics of the Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill situation last year.
Well, that worked out pretty well for Tennessee.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.